Show, the Soul Nectar Show. You're invited, delighted to discover who you are. Anything is possible if you believe. So join us on this beautiful journey.
Soul Nectar Show.
Soul Nectar Show.
Hi, this is Carrie Hummingbird, and this is Soul Nectar, that show that attempts to describe through stories connection to essence, to that which is bigger than us, to the unknowable, and to share our own stories of connection to essence so that all of us can maybe tap into it for just a moment or find a pathway to a greater, more regular connection to our essence. And so I'm delighted today to have Amanda Eloesh. Thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Yay. And so Amanda is San Francisco's leading spiritual mentor for conscious entrepreneurs, helping you reach your goals through spiritual awakening. She's the author of Unlock Your Success Code, Subconscious Success Repatterning, and also Go Ask Alice Oracle. What a cool title. And it sounds like you're also working on a new book coming up, Sexual Bliss Through Good Housekeeping, The Extraordinary Woman's Guide to Having It All. I love that. She's an international speaker and teacher, educated and initiated as a counseling psychologist, expressive arts therapist, integrative medicine practitioner, ordained priestess, and shamanic healer. She shared her wisdom with thousands in over 20 countries, including India and the Prana Festival in New Zealand. Well, that's cool. The California Institute for Integral Studies and Google. For over 30 years, she's dedicated herself to research and study of the subconscious and its untapped and infinite potential. She is the founder of the Living Wisdom School, steward of the Center for Living Wisdom, and the Minister for Medicine Path Native American Church. She's an expert in helping professional women and men to break through the limiting subconscious fears that are holding them back from their full potential in business, relationships, and wellness. And so thank you, Amanda. Of course, I know Amanda through some work that we've done together on my own business and helping me to tap into my own potential. And so I'm very well versed in Amanda. And I was really delighted that you said yes to come on the show, and yay!
That, are you kidding me?
Play with me a little. So I love these kinds of conversations because I found that my sweet spot is discussing the unknowable. I want to figure it out. I want to figure out the great mysteries and explain them and write about them and, you know, share that wisdom. And, you know, so through these conversations, if nothing else, I'm having a great deal of fun. So that's the important thing.
Yeah.
So today I want to just ask you to share with us your story. You know, we're sitting around the campfire and we're sharing stories, and now it's your turn to share your story of your connection to essence, you know, how you found it, how you really truly felt yourself for the first time, and, you know, paint a picture for us.
So I'll start out by saying the very first memory that I have is of being before I had a body. And I was picking my birth family. And I know that those memories are from before my birth because there are things that happened before I was a part of my family. And I remember that the vision was from above, looking down. And so I feel like in some ways there are parts of my essence that many people lose the memory of. There's an amnesia that happens when we enter the body that I've been gifted with staying in touch with. I grew up in a really powerfully spiritual, miracle manifesting through prayer family, but very conservative Mormon tradition, and they have a very, you know, set way of practicing their spirituality, and it was very nourishing to me, but it also wasn't a total match. And I frequently had experiences where I would think about the infinite as a child. And I would go into some kind of nirvana state because it would literally blow my mind, and I would be beyond my mind, and I would be connected with that ecstatic infinite wave. And as soon as I would be aware that that's what I was witnessing, that I was actually inside of the infinite, because you can't witness it from outside, I don't think, anyway, all of a sudden I would leave that state. And so I actually learned this powerful lesson early on that we can never actually wrap our minds around or describe the infinite as human beings, because we're separate and we're here on purpose to be separate, to enjoy the physical body, which is a separation from source. And I've just been super fascinated with my access to that. Some people, you know, don't easily access it. How some people can. How can I help people to access that source, because it's so empowering. And when I was in about 11th grade, I was in a program for gifted kids, and was given the opportunity to really study the things I was passionate about. And I remember I had learned about what a placebo was, and I was like, what? You can make miracles happen, you know? And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. And so I got really excited about studying the mind, and through that started studying the subconscious, and, you know, what are the things that help us to access source? What are the things that keep us from accessing source and keep us, you know, dragged down and limited? And one of the pieces that really came to me over time was that the one and only really accessible portal to source that all humans have is the imagination. Because the imagination, whether you feed it or not, it's capable of limitlessness. Like your brain doesn't get full of like new ideas, you know, like, I'm sorry, I've already got too many ideas I can't possibly, you know, think of or hear about or be inspired by one new thing. You know, it's like, no, that it's actually, that's the one limitless part of the human experience. And so that makes perfect sense. And I've been studying, I learned very early on in 11th grade how to do guided imagery, which is going into the imagination. And so I just was like, well, that's how we do it. We use the imagination to hack the inside, subconscious stuff that's keeping us blocked, and we use the imagination to access source. And there's a very fine line between just, you know, being delusional and making shit up.
Yeah. But,
and actually accessing it. And so I've been really curious about that too, because some of the positive affirmations and stuff, they don't really do anything. And so I've been curious about that. So yeah, that's a very long answer.
Yeah, no, I love that, because I realized that the same thing, you know, that there's this real thing that was happening in the imagination space. Like whenever I would do shamanic journey, or certainly shamanic healing is all about the imagination. It's visualizing that you are healing something, and that you're, you know, maybe blowing out some black smoke from your, you know, your body, and you're releasing it. And as you're releasing it, you know, you're filling up with light, and that powerful imagination is actually changing you at a cellular level. And
other things too, not just ourselves. So it's amazing about it.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I also agree with this sort of like, we came here to be separate. We came here to experience, what does it feel like to be me, you know, a being amongst all of the other energy.
Yeah.
And I think that the extreme of that though, is that we can forget that we actually are never alone. We are always surrounded by spirit. And I know that for me, you know, I think I didn't have any religious training or anything like that. And so I was kind of on my own to figure out what is connection, what is universe, what is me in relation. And I think for a good part of my life, I really felt very separate and very alone. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. Yeah. I just had that conversation with a couple of people recently where I've had a few people say different times in my life when I've been single, like, oh, you must be so lonely. And I'm like, no. I mean, there are times that I crave human companionship, but I'm surrounded by amazing people and I actually love my alone time, especially when I'm really like alone and feel like I can drop in with Source. I feel like the Holy is my beloved and that there are all these incredible guides and allies around me who really love me. And I get constant signals that there are right here, right up against our skin is this whole reality that we're not separate from, but we don't really see it. And most of us only vaguely sense it in very subtle ways. And some people see or hear or sense it in more clear ways, clairvoyance, clairsentient, clairaudience. And, but there we're right up against us is this world that we're a part of that feels us. And of course has our, well, most of the time, especially if we're consciously tuning into them, they have our best interest in mind.
Well, I think it's really interesting that you have this memory from before you came into this life.
I know.
Because that gives you a lot of really profound insights. Like it gives you the profound insight that you are not this body. You're here right now, but that this is like a temporary experience.
Yeah.
And that you're eternal, you know, you're beyond that. And that is like an experience or an awareness that most people don't actually have.
Yeah. A lot of people believe in it. And this is the thing that I find interesting. A lot of the people that I work with is that they're incredibly spiritually tuned in. They have really high vibration consciousness and they're really tapped into Source and Spirit and they can feel what they're capable of. But they have limiting subconscious patterns that are not aligned with the conscious self. And they don't match. They're misaligned. And there's a paradox. And usually the tendency is like, I'm not going to look at the thing that doesn't match up with what I believe in. Because we do. That's just how the human mind works. It loves to focus on the things that support the stuff we already believe. You know, because it's predictable and then we just ignore all the other stuff. And I found that that's really detrimental to a lot of high vibration, super mindful, super consciousness oriented healers and, you know, beings is that if their life isn't matching up with their beliefs, then there's something that's out of alignment and it's in the subconscious. They can't see it. And so it's super important to be a human. And realize that we, you know, even though we believe in all this super high vibration conscious stuff, we're here in this body and in this lifetime to navigate the human side. You know, it's great when you've tapped in and you know that that's available. And then it's like, okay, well, let's get real and bring the parts of us that are behind, you know, lovingly and kindly. Because when we do that, then it's easier to extend it to the external and be loving and kind with other people who don't match our consciousness. It's like, oh yeah, that was me last week, you know?
Yeah. So, well, I think that you've had some personal journey in regards to this. Would you be willing to share some of your personal story with us?
Of looking at my shadow.
Yeah. Like, you know, like how did you that story? Like you, obviously this has been your path of realizing that the subconscious was in the way. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, I'll start out by saying the one of the big stories that I'm here to heal in this lifetime is self-worth. And, it's shown up in the way of relationship with the masculine. There was a murder of my aunt's, my mom's sister's husband murdered her. And it set up a pretty intense imprint in my mind about the worth of women and you know, our relationship to the masculine. And I drew some really toxic relationships. I was married to an abusive alcoholic and tried to rescue him for quite a while and then realized, oh, that's not my job, finally, after a long, hard struggle. And then found myself married to a man who I just adored. We had so much fun. It was so hot and juicy and laughter and fun. It inspired other people. And I really, it was just like this, that's what love is. That's what real love is. And we moved out to California from Utah, and leaving our communities was really difficult, really challenging in a lot of ways. And his way of coping with it was to start using methamphetamines with his coworkers. And I didn't know, it spiraled down really, really quickly. And I had these practices, you know, that I've been putting in place and studying. And so I just found myself like kind of like doing yoga and meditating, working, yoga, meditation. That was all I did. And really right in the beginning, Spirit said, this is not a punishment. Your challenges are not a punishment. This is a training course. You're here to do some really big work. And, you know, you're awesome and you're helping people as a child welfare worker. You're helping people, but you're really here to do bigger stuff than this. And you have to go through some really powerful stuff. It's like building muscles, right? It's just your strength training obstacle course. You have to learn it. Otherwise, you can't help other people. So I was like, okay. And okay, let's do it. And I literally had panic attacks throughout that were horrible. But because I didn't, because I had these practices of tuning in and connecting with Source, I was able to ride through those panic attacks and not let fear tell me how to behave, because that's usually what happens. We have a stressor, we react to it. We have a crisis happen, we react to it. And usually fear is running the show, and at least on the subconscious. And I'm so grateful that I had access to Source, who was like, by the way, we're here, you know, this is, you're going to be fine. Just keep listening, just keep meditating. And that's all I did. I really did not, I was aware of what my ego wanted to do out of fear, but I would just drop in and meditate and tune in. And every time I would get guidance of what to do. And almost all the time it had nothing to do with the stimulus that was coming in. It was like almost ignoring it completely. And I was really freaked. I mean, I won't go into any details, but it was scary. It was toxic. It was traumatizing, basically. And on Valentine's Day, 2002, I was in court fighting to uphold a restraining order that I'd had to take out against my husband. And it was really intense. It was in front of a judge that I did my social work in front of. So that was like, hi, here, everything, transparent. Hi, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, and it was very humbling. Mm-hmm. And it really helped me to grasp that I am a human being and I may have access to my divine self, but I got to get over that because I made a choice to be human. I had to deal with all of my feelings. I had to deal with all of my shadow, all of my judgments, all of my anger, all of my assumptions of entitlement of a certain kind of life or whatever, you know, just like really tuned in and grateful for life and that nothing's guaranteed. And every time, if we're going to be in a growth kind of situation, which means not dead and stagnant in this life, it means constant pushing beyond the edges, which means constantly being in the unknown. And the great thing about being in the unknown is that's where we get the great ideas that are way more exciting, way more miraculous, way more purpose-driven and on point than what our limited imaginations could possibly try to manifest. And so it's super scary because it's vulnerable because we don't know it and it's hard to navigate and we make mistakes and we're awkward, but it's also, that's the only place that the miracles happen. So I got I got super training in that and really paid attention to how I was doing it, because that was the other message from Spirit. Like, you've got pretty good flow and you can handle it when the shit hits the fan because you're tuned into source, but you're here not to just impress other people with your ability to do that. Like, you need to teach it. And everybody's different. And so I was like, wow, okay. So after I got through that, I really put a lot of my time and effort into, okay, that was amazing. I didn't have one regret, which is pretty astonishing. I felt like it was really powerful. In fact, friends during that time are now clients because they saw how I navigated it. And now that I'm doing this profession, they're like, I'll have some help. But it took a while for me to really put together a system that could be molded to fit the unique way that people are in their consciousness, because it's a very unique experience, and how they are in their subconscious, and how to help them to access that in a pattern. It's like a step by step. So it's been fun. It's been really fun, and I've been doing it with all different kinds of people who have all different kinds of struggles. But I think ultimately what everybody wants that I come into contact with is to live their purpose and to prosper from it. And some people feel they're living their purpose but not prospering. Some people aren't doing either. So I've found that my biggest joy is to help people to do that.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. What a powerful story. I'm just sitting here processing it. And I'm thinking about some of our conversations where I was like, but why do I have to go through this? You know, this deep, dark, difficult passage, and, you know, the fear and be put in a situation where I don't know what's going to happen next. And I've got to roll with it. And, you know, because we've all, I think all of us that are stepping out in this way as healers are going to have certain set of challenges, because without those challenges, what do you have to offer another person for guidance? You can't guide somebody through the woods unless you know how to walk through the deepest, darkest part of the woods. So you've got to be able to do that.
Spiritual muscle.
Muscle, yeah. And there's different ways of getting at it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, meditation, certainly. I know you're also involved with plant medicine, and that's another avenue of opening up and getting past the ego down into the actual.
Woo! Yeah, it's so the work, the subconscious success repatterning work, I've had many people say, wow, that was quantum. That was like, I've seen shamans, I've seen therapists, I've seen coaches, and worked on this thing for years, and sometimes in one or two 60-minute sessions, they've accessed and switched things that they hadn't been accessing before. And the medicine makes my subconscious success repatterning look really slow, because at least the Wachuma, the sacred Wachuma, the San Pedro medicine that I work with, well, and ayahuasca as well, although she's a tough mistress, but the San Pedro really feels like this incredibly soft and gentle, like it just kind of goes in and melts all the crunchy, hard parts of us that are resistant, mind, body, spirit, all at once to our prayer, our true soul purpose prayer. And we might not even be aware of what that is, because we've got an ego prayer that's based in fear and scarcity and old stories. But that medicine kind of, I just find for me and the communities that I'm a part of that use that medicine in a good way, it really creates clarity on what your true soul purpose prayer is, and creates a softening and opening and receptivity to it. And that's I can't, what else do you need, right?
Well, you can't heal what you're not aware of. And, you know, the awarenesses can come all kinds of different ways. So I've certainly had many awarenesses working with you and also working with medicine. And, you know, surprisingly enough, I even had like this really profound awareness a few weeks ago in a constellations session. Like, I don't know if you've heard about those, but the constellations, and it wasn't even mine. Like, I was just a bystander.
Yeah.
But it was me. It was me in, right in the middle of it. And I was like, got an agreement that was from the first memory of my life, which was like 3 years old. And the agreement was, it's not safe to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was like, because this woman was having that realization, and the orchestrator facilitator was saying, did you hear what you just said? It's not safe to play. And I went, it's not safe to play. And I was like, whoosh, I was too. It's crazy.
And look at the work that you're here doing. It's really playful. I mean, hummingbird medicine, you know, and that's another point that I've really found is that, and I've heard it summarized in your mess is your message, but you know, same thing, like this isn't a punishment, you know, these challenges that we go through as children and adults, they're really, I feel like those are the choices we made. Like, I'm going to come into this life and, you know, I need this lesson and that experience and these resources, right, to do what I want to accomplish in this lifetime. And so we drop in, and sometimes we really stay on point, and sometimes that drop in is traumatic enough and we forget, we lose the contact. But you know, I really see how that is a part of your whole path.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating, and it's just amazing to me, like how when you least expect it, as long as you're doing the work and you're really open, it's like when you least expect it, then it's going to pop in. And you know what's so interesting is, like, since that popped in, I've had all these changes inside of me because now I'm aware of it.
Right.
So I'm completely aware of that one now, and I'm tracking it. Anytime I'm pulling back, it's like, oh, okay, you think it's not safe to play. Well, let me just explore that and see if that's true.
Right.
Because I can do something with something I'm aware of. And what's really interesting is in the awareness of how a lot of times you have those subconscious patterns, those deep, you know, those patterns that are kind of foundational. It's like you're trying to prove them wrong your whole life. So I was looking at my life and I was like, I have really drastically tried to prove how safe it is to play. I'm going to put myself way out there and play to prove it's safe.
Yeah.
So now that that's happened, I've been able to kind of come back in. And what's really interesting is that, you know, my wise woman's dropping in. So I'm like, got these big roots, you know, and my jaguar's coming out, you know, and I'm like, real, like, you know, I'm ready to like pounce, you know, and get what I want. So it's just, it's fascinating how all of the interplay of the subconscious is almost as unknowable as spirit, you know, but luckily we get these little signs and these little fragments that we can then start to weave together and start to understand, you know, our cosmic makeup for this particular go around.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Which might be healing other lifetimes and healing our ancestors.
I've been really amazed at the quality, the caliber of people who've been coming to work with me, including you, where I'm able to share time travel. So that was another piece that I discovered when I was little. I didn't know I was particularly right, but I knew that I had special talents and abilities that just were way beyond the scope of the adults around me, really. Even from the gifted school, I was like, I just could feel like I needed a mentor, and I didn't see one around me in the human form. And so I started to tap into my future self, because I knew grown-up me would probably have a better idea. And if I had gone off path, I could guide myself, like, don't go that direction. So I would just tune in, and I never particularly knew if I got anything clearly from those tune-ins, but I could feel energies. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm a grown-up, since I've been really having these powerful conscious breakthroughs with Source and how they apply to me in my life's purpose, in my path as a healer. And I frequently, especially when I'm in pinnacle moments, like sitting as a shaman with the Shipibo tribe in the Amazon with ayahuasca running through me, or these powerful moments of sound healing ceremonies or whatever it is, I take a moment to tune in to that child self and say, this is your path. And anything that feels, looks, smells, sounds like this, jump on it. And I've been able to, and I've been curious, like, can I help clients to travel in time too? And I found even on my Skype and phone sessions, they felt powerful shifts in healing that we consciously send backwards and forwards in time, not just to their past life as a human, you know, the past as their human incarnation, but through their ancestors and then through any previous past lives. And sometimes they've even said that they've created shifts in their living family members, like parents or aunts.
Oh, yeah.
Without them even knowing, but they've like, oh my God, that created a healing in my family. And I would have never been able to talk to them about this. They would have thought I was wacko, or that, you know, it would have been denial that we even needed to work on it. But then there was this huge healing. And so I have no doubt that it works. It's really amazing. So we can totally heal it up backwards and forwards in time.
Yeah. And I want to say something to that, because I had a really powerful shift one time. I think it was the last class that I did for my training with the Four Winds. And it was 2 weeks I was gone. And I'd never taken two classes back to back because it was just like too much. You know, like I could do one class for a week and then I needed 3 months to process, you know, to come back. But I wanted to finish. So I did the last two classes. And we did this really powerful exercise where we sort of looked at our whole life and we created a sand painting, and then we brought in some universal energy and we like dialed it back, you know, and it changed everything. Like it moved so many parts that I couldn't think for like days. I mean, my brain was like sandpapered. It was like, it felt like it had been sandpapered. And all I could do is dance around the labyrinth and like just pray and get to the center and put my head on the earth and be like, please, earth, Mata Mama, help me. Like, I don't know who I am. Like, I'm lost. And when I got back from that, I had this conversation with my mother, and she was taking the opposite point of view about my ex-husband than she was before the trip.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And I almost said something, and then I was like, she doesn't know, so leave it. Because I just changed everything.
Right.
I just changed time. And that affected everybody around me. Mm-hmm. And so she's not going to know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I felt so insane thinking that, but I really think it's true.
Yeah, we can totally change timelines because there are every possibility is happening all the time, all at the same time. And I have no doubt that we can do that. I've done it. I've actually gotten temporarily stuck between worlds and freaked out a little bit. That was weird. That was freaky. I was at a wedding, and everything in my peripheral vision stayed moving, but everything in front of me was frozen. And I could hear the sounds around me, but everything in front of me froze. And it was probably only happening for about 30 seconds or 45 seconds, but it felt like an eternity because I thought that I was stuck in some weird warp. And it was like very twilight zone. And then all of a sudden it just like snapped in and everything was back to where it was. And I was so exhausted. I felt like a raw nerve. And I've had similar kinds of experiences where like things get caught in a loop, you know, where I'm like, wait, just everything is in a loop in my tech and it's all different tech. So that's weird. Or, you know,
like the Matrix, it's like they changed the program, you know, like there's that again, there it goes.
Yeah.
So there's something to that.
Yeah. And that's without medicine, but then with medicine, there's certainly all kinds of interdimensional traveling and stuff like that. So it's exciting. And I feel like, well, Barbara Marx Hubbard is one of my teachers. She was a vice presidential candidate, I think in the 80s, might've been with Walter Mondale. Anyway, her platform was to create a peace room and to use all of our brilliance in the United States to put into manifesting world peace. And of course she didn't win, but she's an amazing woman. She's an author and a speaker, and she taught a class called The Agents of Conscious Evolution. And one of the things she taught that I had already figured out that I love that she was teaching was that before every birth, there's a crisis. And if women didn't know that they were about to have a baby, it would be the most traumatic thing in their life. Sometimes it is anyway, right? Even though they know there's this miracle on the other side that they're really excited about. So, and I've been really conscious of that because I've been going through, I think every single week, I've felt body, mind, and spirit contractions and like, bring it on, you know, and like, let's move through this. But if you don't know, then it can, you can get stuck. And what was the other thing that she taught? Oh yeah, so the other thing that she taught is that I really appreciated, is that no other time on this planet has there been a species that could be aware of its own consciousness and make conscious decisions about where the consciousness evolves and how it evolves. And to really value that, because our consciousness is everything. It's the one thing that makes humans special. And for very many generations, some of that specialness has just been clever, like, well, if we can do it, we might as well do it. And let's, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't know if that was the best idea. And so we're really at a place where we can watch ourselves, we can pay attention to our impact on the planet, and we can make a choice about our conscious evolution. And that includes really coming to terms with our limitations of the subconscious. I am so sad that not more people are talking about that, but it's in the subconscious, so not a lot of people are aware. But it's really critical right now for us to really evolve our consciousness in a way that acknowledges the whole human species and our own shadow. You know, like, we have to own our everything. Anybody that we're critical of, you know, it's like, that's part of a reality that we're colluding in.
It is. You know, I know that there are some people, spiritually minded people, conscious people, that were saying that that's why the election turned out the way it did, is because collectively, unconsciously, we all decided like this was the fastest path to healing, you know, to have this experience. And, you know, if you look at it, we're definitely getting a lot more awareness.
Absolutely. I think I told you that I had a premonition. I had a vision that that was going to happen and that this was going to happen. Like, just like my life catastrophe, it's like, you know, this is, you know, this is the United States wake up call. And a lot of things haven't been good for a very long time. And every single president has caved to certain things that really haven't served us. And we've a lot of, you know, I'm just speaking for the United States, but we've just gotten very complacent. And, you know, we all have to take full accountability for our reality and show up. And it was like, and especially you, Miss Amanda. And I was like, yeah, I get it. Thank you. And I did, I needed that poker up the butt, you know, to get me in gear. And so I am, you know, I've made sure that my money has more integrity where it's at, you know, I don't have it in a bank anymore. I have it in a credit union and all of that stuff, just like really fully taking accountability for my behavior, seen and unseen, right? Like our money can be like the subconscious, or where we buy our food, or where we buy our things, you know, are they coming from slave labor?
Right. And there's a lot of that.
How many times do we go on the internet and order something that was created by a human being that's being treated like a product, you know, like a robot or an animal or less? You know, this is the time that if we want things to change, we have to be inconvenienced. You know, let go of some of our convenient, privileged lifestyle and really look at ourselves. And that's not easy. But if we can be compassionate about it and like, well, I didn't know yesterday, but today I do, and I can make a better decision today. Boom. You know, don't waste time feeling guilty about it. Just make a better decision today.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's time for their integrity and responsibility in all of our choices, and to see that, you know, how we do one thing is how we do everything.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap up in a few minutes, but before we do, I would love for you to give us just, you know, for somebody that's starting out or that's kind of in the middle of their path and they feel the calling, but you know, they're in between the feeling of the calling and it's actually solid and they can stand in that place. What's some suggestions that you have how they can move forward?
To really find their purpose?
Yeah, to find their purpose and to really step into it.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is to just come to terms with the fact that it's never going to feel comfortable. It's always going to feel awkward because you're taking that next step forward and that next step forward. So as soon as you start to get comfortable, if you're really on the path of growth and being a healer and a leader and a teacher, that's what that requires. So not that you're like always, I mean, I have plenty of times where I feel joyful and relaxed and all that, but you know, I don't ever feel like, oh, I got that figured out, you know? So that's one. And then another is just the piece that we were talking about, which is to look at the experiences in your life that you may have formerly judged as the thing that made you feel like a victim, something was done to you, created all this harm that ruined your life or gave you challenges that weren't fair. Whatever it may be, and instead look at it as a gift, because it is. It was and it is, and it will be an amazing treasure if you look at it that way. And that and choosing to be in the humble, vulnerable unknown with a prayer for your life, asking for help, you know, other than getting professional help and really exploring and clearing away the subconscious, that's the best DIY, you know, staying very curious, because that's how we open our mind. That's how we keep our mind open to the infinite and to the holy, is staying curious. As soon as we think we know something, we've shut the imagination down and we're limited. And I do it plenty of times, but I also am so glad that that's my main teaching, is to stay curious, because I remind myself to be curious about things. If you do that in your relationship, if you do that in your relationship with your own self and behavior, compassionate curiosity, not like interrogative curiosity, is very different. Compassionate curiosity is like, huh, that's really interesting. I'd like to understand that better. You know, that's what that is. Like, wow.
I wonder if, or exactly. I love that, because one of my mentors, Heather Ashimara, has this whole experiments thing, you know, run an experiment. So, you know, just try it out, do it different for a week, and you don't have to commit to it.
Right.
Just for a week, you know, yeah. And see what it's like and see what gets uncovered, you know, and that's how we break through our patterns and our, you know, some of our crap that gets in the way. Mm-hmm. Of us being really free. So I love that. Well, you know, do you want to tell us about your free offer?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I wrote a book about the system that I created called Subconscious Success Repatterning. And the book is called Unlock Your Success Code and then Subconscious Success Repatterning. And I also created a guided journey that goes with it, so that if you want to do the practice, you can just listen to the journey. You don't have to memorize the book or keep trying to come out and refer to the book. And then for anybody who's really serious about getting some mentorship with me, really blasting through and not trying to do it by yourself all, you know, forever and ever, and want to get some help and explore with me what your goals are, what you want for yourself, what's possible, and what are the subconscious blocks. If you want clarity about that and whether I can help you with that, then I'm also offering a 60-minute breakthrough to success discovery session with me to look at that. So they're really beneficial, and I love them. I love these conversations, because I learn from every single one, and it satisfies my curiosity.
It is, isn't it fun? I love it.
Yeah.
That's very generous. Thank you for gifting that to our audience. And I want to thank everybody for being with us today, and to thank Amanda for sharing your stories. They've been very fun. I really enjoyed listening to you. And until next time, We'll see you next time on Soul Nectar. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all your blessings and for your light and for being willing to shine out in the world. Received. Bye.
Take a sip from the drip of nectar, from the source of who you are.